wanted me on camera to start the show. Good morning, Stephen A. Guess what today is?
NBA draft.
Draft day, yeah. And it is the 50th anniversary of Title IX as well. So we will be covering both those things.
Yes.
Wendy's with us. Monica McNutt, we're getting her set, but we are starting in the NBA. Let's go. Could the Lakers entice Kyrie Irving to leave Brooklyn? Now, according to NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski, they are considered the most significant threat for the Nets star point guard. Irving and LeBron James were teammates for 4 years in Cleveland and won a championship together. Here's Woj on NBA Today with more.
His options are limited in the marketplace. The Lakers, the Knicks are certainly focuses for him, but all the Lakers could offer him is their $6 million exemption. So he'd have to be willing to take as much as $36 million pay cut for next year to leave Brooklyn. But, you know, he probably also surprised a lot of people with his willingness to lose $17 million last year in salary because he wouldn't get vaccinated. So there is precedent for him for leaving money on the table.
Okay, Stephen A., like I said, Monica McNutt and Wendy will be here with us, but I want to start with you because I find this very interesting.
Yeah.
It's a juicy story we've got right here.
Yeah.
Is Kyrie better off with the Nets, staying with Kevin Durant, or reuniting with LeBron James and going out to L.A. and the Lakers?
Are you ready for this answer?
No.
It don't matter. It doesn't matter because
that's not what I expected for your answer.
Because it's Kyrie Irving. Let me, I have been very, very excited about this morning because, see, I'm loving this. I hope that Wendy and Monica is sitting in their seats and we get this shot ready, wherever they are right now, because they're going to be doing the draft as well. I am so excited about this story. I mean, it almost made it want to make me giggle, and I don't giggle. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Kyrie Irving, y'all, are you ready for this? Good to see y'all. Kyrie Irving is scheduled. He's on the books. He has a player option.
Yeah.
That gives him the right to earn $36.9 million next season. And after missing 123 games in the last 3 years, after missing 60% of his games over the last 3 years, he literally is offended and insulted that the Brooklyn Nets have said, excuse me, we need you to earn your money. We need you to show a commitment, and you have shown an unwillingness and an inability to be trusted. So guess what? We want you to exercise your option to play in and prove yourself, or we ain't guaranteeing you 4 years. And because of that, Kyrie Irving is basically indicating to the public, I am willing to lose out on $30 million. Because if he left and signed, if he opted out and became a free agent and signed with the Los Angeles Lakers, okay, because he called it LeBron already. He called it LeBron. Remember that dude that he left that he didn't want to be a sidekick or a little brother too? Remember that? Remember that, Wendy? Remember that Eminem? Oh, no, now he's calling. Now he's calling LeBron. I happen to know he's calling LeBron. He's calling LeBron these days. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful how the world turns? I mean, look, there was once a soap opera called As the World Turns. As Kyrie Turns. That's the name of the soap opera. We gonna hold on to that one all summer long. This is where he's at. And the audacity, the unmitigated gall. Let me remind y'all, let's engage in some revisionist history. Wendy, I need you to lean back, baby. Lean back. Act like you're on a lounge chair on the beach, Wendy. Oh, I got some receipts for you. Just take your time and relax. 2019, okay? We gonna put this quote up there. This is Kyrie Irving with the Celtics. He said, I had to call LeBron and tell him I apologize for being that young player that wanted everything at his fingertips. I wanted to be the guy that led us to a championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. That's what he said. But that was after he just left LeBron high and dry, okay? Not about the money. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose my money? That's what he said. That's what he said. Okay, this is about KD. It has all just this past season, at the end of the season, after they got swept by his former team, the Boston Celtics. It has always been about being comfortable, loving where I'm at. And I love it here. Once that summertime hits, I know that we'll have some conversations. But there's no way I can leave my man Seven anywhere. So the same guy that left LeBron James, the same guy that left Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the same guy that literally is on the verge of leaving Kevin Durant, he's basically saying to the NBA world, oh, I can be trusted. Really? Really? I mean, talk about three strikes and you out. You lucky this is basketball instead of baseball. Or your ass would have struck out already. This is some of the most nonsensical nonsense I've ever seen. Kyrie Irving, and I'm going to say to put Wendy and Eminem back up on the screen because they know where I'm going with this, okay? Kyrie Irving literally would conduct his own practices after Steve Nash conduct practices. He'd show up when he wanted to. He'd leave when he wanted to. He'd disappear when he wanted to. He didn't want to listen to Joe Saad. He didn't want to listen to Sean Marks. He damn sure didn't want to listen to Steve Nash. And evidently, he didn't care that much about listening to KD, Kevin Durant. And so now we sit here. After leaving, losing 17 million, he said he lost 17 million. Not that he earned 18 million for barely working. Well, but he lost out on 17 million because of the New York City mandate, which we all know is bogus and shouldn't have been in place. But the man lose out on $17 million. He said that was for the people, Wendy, Eminem. He wanted to give a voice to the voiceless. Well, the last time I checked, when you making the sacrifices, ain't you suffering the same consequences as the people you supposedly represented? How you making $18 million, okay, for barely doing anything, but you are sacrificing the way people in the streets of New York having to suffer for this New York City mandate, unemployed, laid off, fired. How you suffering what they suffered? This is what Kyrie Irving is trying to sell to the American public as we sit here and look at this NBA fiasco taking place before our eyes. So in closing, here is what I say. Kyrie Irving, I dare you. You're a man of principle, right? I dare you to pass up on $37 million because of principle. Opt out and go to the Los Angeles Lakers for $6 million. You already lost 17, right? Another 30 you'd be losing. That's $47 million, right? And on top of it all, you ain't going to have a shoe deal because Nike said they don't want nothing to do with you. Okay? This is what they've indicated. So you losing money all over the place because he wants to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. He don't want to answer to anybody. And then if he spoke to you, Wendy, about it, or Eminem, or even you, Molly, you know what he'd say to y'all? He'd start a sentence off by calling you a king or a queen because he wants to make sure that y'all understand. You understand that's what he is, okay? And so he has dominion, and nobody has dominion over him. But you got your hand out for people's
money. Okay, wait. Before we bring Wendy in to answer the question if he's better off with the Nets or with the Lakers, you're saying it doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
Because he's Kyrie.
Okay.
And he wants to do whatever it is that he wants to do.
All right.
That's why.
Wendy, where are you on this? Would you like to see him staying with the Nets or going to the Lakers? What makes more sense?
Well, I think that the Nets could potentially have a good team next year, pending Ben Simmons' health. And I don't know what's going to be, but if Ben Simmons can play, then they're actually going to be a pretty potent team. Joe Harris will be back. Durant will be back. I think there could be good. But let's just forget about everything that happened last season. I know it's impossible to actually do that. Let's just talk about this from a pure business perspective, Stephen A. If you were the lead negotiator for the Brooklyn Nets and you heard Kyrie Irving on the last day of the season say, I'm not going anywhere else. I'm going to be back here. You knew that you weren't going to have any other bidders. Then you looked out at the market and said, well, who's actually got salary cap space? San Antonio Spurs. Is he going there? I don't see that. I don't see the Spurs wanting him. Is he going to Orlando Magic?
No. Nope.
I don't see that. I don't see the Magic wanting him. Is he going to the Detroit Pistons?
Nope.
They just drafted Cade Cunningham, and they may have Jaden Ivey if things fall the right way tonight. So you're sitting out there saying, the guy says he wants to be back with us. There's nobody else out there who's going to sign him. The only way he can get out of here is a trade. Well, that means I have control if I'm the Nets. I can control. And then you say, well, what if he wants to go to the Lakers or the Clippers? And you look at the rules and it says, well, the only way he can go to the Lakers or Clippers is if he opts into that contract, because sign and trades won't work because those teams are too deep into the luxury tax. So you're holding all the cards if you're the Nets. So why wouldn't you play hardball? You know that that's where he wants to be. And that's what the Nets are doing. The only thing, Stephen A., that is a window, is the card that Kyrie is going to play. And that is that he, in the very unique person that he is, would somehow be willing to walk away from $30 million to go play for the Lakers. And the Lakers can't dismiss it. They are in such
not.
A bind with the ability to improve
they
their roster.
They should jump at it.
They would have to entertain it. They would
no,
have
they should
to entertain
jump at it.
It. So that's the only sliver.
Go ahead, Eminem.
Oh, boy. Well, good morning, Kings and yes, Queen
good
Molly.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I missed you, Monica.
Well, by that, I'm not joking. I mean that. You
of course,
queen.
Of course.
Well, go.
Listen, this is interesting, and I may be in the rare, I may be in the minority here.
Okay.
I believe Kyrie when he says he's not going to leave KD. Now, to the question, in terms of being better off, I think it's sort of a wash. Both organizations would have tremendous question marks, whether you talk about Ben Simmons or Coach Harvin coming over in the Lakers situation or Anthony Davis's health for the Lakers. So in terms of the basketball of just the rosters, either situation has some question marks. What you do have in Brooklyn is seven, as he pointed out. Kevin Durant, who still was on track to be MVP mm-hmm. prior to dealing with some injuries. Your boy that you cooked up this entire scheme with to come to Brooklyn. I think Joe Harris coming back is a big deal when you look at that roster. This is a team to me that if they can get right, y'all, let's not have bad memories. Remember the stretch of the season when Kyrie first got on the court and was only playing half games and we were enamored? How is he able to maintain his basketball rhythm? He's just mm-hmm. that good. And Stephen A., I know he frustrates you, but he indeed remains box office, right? And so we saw a glimpse of what this team could be if he is willing to put this team first and put in the required time on the court.
All right, let me get in here because, see, this is the kind of stuff that makes me go, no, I don't want to see no highlights, no more highlights. Put Monica and Wendy on the screen. No highlights. See, this is the part that annoys the living hell out of me.
Okay.
Kyrie is box office. Yeah. That's why I'm frustrated. I'm not frustrated because, I dislike Kyrie. I don't lose no sleep over Kyrie. I'm eating Thanksgiving dinner. I'm exchange Christmas gifts. I'm gonna live my life. I slept very, very well last night, in case you can't tell. I'm very energized. I'm not tired like I was yesterday off of a red eye. I slept very, very well. Kyrie Irving don't faze me. I don't have anything against the brother. My point is, facts need to be stated. The man wants to do what he wants to do. Hold on, Eminem, because this is important.
I got you.
And you understand all of this. The brother does what he wants. He shows up to practice when he wants. He leaves practice when he wants. He disappears when he wants. He's inaccessible when he wants to be. He conducted, I'm going to repeat it again because Wendy, you covered this game too. The man takes the team after they finish practicing, Eminem. After Steve Nash has conducted a practice, Kyrie Irving was taking dudes and bringing them on the basketball court to conduct his own practices. Do you understand the level of disrespect? And then on top of it all, for all of that to happen, here we are, we talking principle, right? KD, my man, I can never see myself leaving him. You ain't thinking about how you left him hanging. You thinking about your money. You took a $17 million pay cut because of the whole vaccine thing and you refused to show up, right? But you were banking on banking, getting $250 million this coming summer. That's why you wasn't fazed by it. And now, after you've missed 60% of your games, after you haven't been available, when you were healthy enough to go in the bubble and play, but when they told you you couldn't play, that's when you tried to discourage other people from playing. When you set up there after a 10-month hiatus and come back for 2 weeks, and then you need to take a break because of the riots at the U.S. Capitol. Last year, because of the mandate, on top of all the perks that you just took advantage of and completely exploited, you are actually sitting here, and you are so appalled that nobody would want to get, the Brooklyn Nets wouldn't want to guarantee you $250 million because they're afraid you're not going to show up to work. That you are literally sitting there and threatening them, I'll pass on this player option at $37 million and I'll take $30 million less just off of principle. Think about that for a second. How could you possibly feel good about that? Let him go. Let him go. Call his bluff. Call his bluff. You the Brooklyn Nets, go ahead. I double dare you. You a man of principle, right? That's what you're weighing about the money, right? You don't mind leaving KD hanging, right? You know, and think about this. If you leave, you're the one that convinced KD to come to Brooklyn. And after he comes to Brooklyn, you do all of this stuff, and then you're going to leave him hanging? That's what you're going to do to KD, your boy, who has supported you by shutting the hell up and not saying a damn word about you, because we all know there's none but ammunition for KD to throw him under the bus. And KD has never done it. And that's the brother you're going to leave hanging. The same brother that you went on a podcast with over last year, a couple of years ago, and you said, quote, I mean, it's nice to be with somebody that, you know what, it's the first time in my career when I ain't worried about somebody taking the last shot instead of me, which was clearly a shot at LeBron, who, by the way, you on the phone with now, looking to reunite with, or for your principal. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
The floor's yours. Where's the retort?
Listen. Stephen A., you are not wrong, but this is where we are with Kyrie and this league. He is still box office, as we all agree. And because of that, he will be able to find his way. I'm not saying that I agree with the way that he has handled everything in Brooklyn, but we are still in the business of results and talent trumping.
Oh, can I make a correction? May I make a correction?
Yes.
He's not box office. Do you know why? Because when you're box office, that means that people can rely on you showing up.
Okay, so and
if
I'm glad you said
box
that,
office. He ain't, because we don't know when he's gonna show up to work.
Admittedly, that was gonna be my next statement. We still are in a space where the league is willing to bank on his talent and deal with the questions about whether or not he will show up. You have not given me anything that is not factual in terms of principle, in terms of quotes, in terms of his behavior over the course of the last season. But if the Nets have this as an opportunity to Wendy's point, they hold all the cards. Now, the questions then become, what do the Lakers think that they can get out of him that will be different from what we've seen in Brooklyn?
When it comes to talent,
we can the laundry list can be extremely long, but if there's still talent there, somebody's willing to take a risk and to put up with everything that comes with it.
No, we know Kyrie got a job already, and it's going to pay him $37 million next year if he so chooses. The question is, who's willing to give him that four-year guarantee that he's demanding from the organization and the star player he's turned his back on because he wants to do things his way? We know he's going to be on an NBA roster. The brother is too magnificent not to be. But we also know the brother ain't trustworthy when it comes to following protocol and rules and regulations and doing things from a team concept. Kyrie Irving is a team and an entity all in of himself. And that's what it is, Wendy. The last word is yours.
Well, I understand why he's doing this, though, Stephen A., because he's gotten the Nets to fold in the past. He got the Nets to fold with the way they were going to not let him play half the time. He got the Nets to fold when he wasn't crazy about Kenny Atkinson being the coach. Why wouldn't he think that the Nets would fold again? And this is really kind of what's happened, is that Joe Tsai, who's one of the richest men in the world, a man who negotiated with the Chinese government to found his business, who was repeatedly folding to a player that was showing up 40% of the time. And I think he's tired of it. And so he's saying that's enough. I'm drawing the line in
that's
the sand for business
said.
Reasons and for, you know, personal reasons. But Kyrie is basically saying, I've watched you guys do what I want before. I've always had Kevin on my side. Kevin was on my side in 2019 when he signed. He was on my side when he extended last summer when he didn't have to. Imagine if Kevin Durant had not extended last summer. He'd have an option to be a free agent right now. Imagine how that would play out. But he did. He was basically recommitted to Kyrie then. Last season when James Harden said, forget about this with Kyrie, Durant was on his side again. So he knows when the cookies crumble, he's had Durant, and he knows the Nets have folded. So I don't blame him for trying to do it again. And so now we have the question, which side's going to fold? The history has shown the Nets are going to fold. Now I'm watching to see if they hold the line.
We got to move on here, but just yes or no answer. So, Wendy, you think that he wants to stay in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he wants the money.
Okay.
I think he wants
Remember when him and KD went to Philly and they put on a show? Let's go there now. So free agency begins at... You were at that game, right? Remember, Steve?
Yes, I was.
They went to Philly, put on the
show.
Free agency begins at the end of June, and for the Philadelphia 76ers, that means making sure James Harden is taken care of after that blockbuster trade at the deadline. Our Adrian Wojnarowski says that Harden is heading toward opting in to his $47.4 million player option, and the sides will agree on a two-year contract extension. Doc Rivers will also be back as head coach after much speculation there. Here's Woj.
James Harden is headed toward opting in to that $47 million player option and then extending perhaps by as many as two more years, you know, at a significant number with the Sixers, probably likely something short of a max contract, but still a significant commitment from Philly to keep him and him to stay in Philadelphia.
Okay, SA, so it looks like James Harden's staying, Doc Rivers will still be there. Are the Sixers close to winning a title?
I'm not going to say close, but I'm not going to rule it out. It all depends on how healthy and committed James Harden is. He ain't Kyrie Irving, but he doesn't get let off the hook. You know, he forced his way out of Houston, and he's forced his way out of Brooklyn, and he hasn't been in shape in 2 years. That is a fact. And I say anything, Wendy, Eminem, that is false right there. Anything. Did I say that anything that was false?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. So here we are. You got a situation. I believe he hasn't fully recovered from his hamstring injury. But let's understand that part of the reason that hamstring injury occurred to begin with was because when Houston didn't voluntarily just let him out of H-Town, he showed up to training camp fat and out of shape. That is a fact. And what happened is that he was spending the year trying to recover and get himself back into shape. And when that transpired, ultimately he ended up in Brooklyn and he got that hamstring injury and that cost him. And then last year when he was in Brooklyn, he still wasn't in tip-top shape because James Harden parties hard. Let's just leave it at that. And so because that's what he's doing, listen, I'm not diming him out or anything like that because I would never do that to any player. But everybody knows it. I mean, damn, it's been written all over the damn place, okay? And the reality of the situation is that in Philadelphia, the very, very night that Kyrie and KD strolled into Brooklyn and annihilated you, you went out chilling that night. And so when you look at the Philadelphia 76ers and James Harden, what they're saying is we all know that when James Harden is absolutely positively 100% healthy and in shape, we know how lethal this brother is. He's one of the greatest scorers this game has seen. But we have not seen that over the last 2 years. And I think that is what it takes for the Philadelphia 76ers to be a contender. With Brooklyn, because let me tell you something. Don't get it twisted. I ain't foolish now. With Kyrie in the uniform and committed, with KD and the rest of their crew, I think Brooklyn is a title contender next year. I just question whether or not they'll show up and be committed. But we all know from a talent perspective, they're a title contender. Milwaukee is probably the favorite. Boston ain't fading. You got three teams easily considered above the Philadelphia 76ers. And the only thing that could possibly negate that prognostication or that, you know, that belief is a James Harden fully committed, 100% in shape, ready to roll.
Yeah. It's tough to argue there, Stephen A. I definitely, you look at the East, Milwaukee, Boston, they're comfortable. We'll see what happens with Brooklyn in terms of their talent. I did think back to the series versus Miami. If Joel Embiid is not injured, how does that play out? Miami goes on to win in six. You wonder, after a MVP caliber type of year, if he could have propelled. The word close is very interesting because I think at points this past regular season, we thought that they might be a team that could come out of the East as a representative. Here's my thing with James Harden, and I continued to say this last year. I don't need vintage James Harden. Getting in shape certainly helps, but I don't need vintage James Harden. If James Harden continues to average double-figure assists and is shooting the three ball, I believe his career high is around 38, 39% from three. If he's back to that from the three-point line and can be consistent enough to knock down a couple of two floaters, he's got Joel Embiid, who is tremendous. Tyrese Maxey continues to take jumps. I think there's a way that Tobias Harris can be used efficiently in terms of the big picture goal of the Philadelphia 76ers. But James Harden is still the key because I think he can be a very, very good point guard in the East, one of the best in the league, but he has to show that commitment. And it is just that simple. But there are other teams that have shown the commitment, particularly Boston and Milwaukee, ahead of the Sixers when we have this conversation.
I have to say, 10 months ago, right after Kevin Durant signed that extension, the Nets were ready to extend James Harden for up to 4 years and extend Kyrie Irving for up to 4 years. That's not sources said. Sean Marks said it after Durant signed. Harden passed on the offer, and now look where he is. Kyrie never got to the offer because he wasn't able to play. But Harden recognized the lay of the land and realized, I can't get that 4 years anymore. I better take what I can get, including picking up my option for that money next year because nobody else is going to pay it. So Harden sees the reality. And the biggest thing to me is, what does James Harden look like when he shows up for training camp? Does he look like a guy who was in his MVP years, or does he look like the guy who showed up the last couple of years? That's one of the most important things. Now, actually, for the structure of the Sixers, they have been out aggressively trying to improve the roster. They have been offering their 23rd pick around, both attached to Matisse Thybulle and attached to Danny Green. Unfortunately, Danny Green is probably going to miss most, if not all, of next season. So that's a salary ballast situation. But they have offered those players around, looking to improve. And they are making a very strong offer early on, or indication that they're going to make a strong offer for P.J. Tucker, who opted out of his contract with the Miami Heat and is one of the most desired role players on the market. Philly has indicated that when free agency opens, that they're going to make a very strong offer there. So they are attempting to rebuild the team around Harden and Embiid with the hope that we see a better Harden and a healthier Embiid. I think they're absolutely a contender, but until I see what James Harden looks like on September 30th and the way he's playing on October 30th, I can't really evaluate them.
I will tell you this, and here's where I'm going to cap this conversation by saying this. Kyrie Irving is a superstar talent. And from a talent perspective, obviously, he's more valuable to me than James Harden. But I'd pay James Harden before I paid Kyrie Irving, because James Harden's going to show up to play. Now, how good he's going to play when he arrives remains to be seen. But when the bus, listen, when the bus pulls into the loading dock area, I know he's going to be on it. So what I'm saying is, again, I'm not saying that I'd pay James Harden max dollars. I'm not saying that I'd pay. That's not what I'm implying. I'm talking about, if I had one check to give out and it was to one or the two, the first person I'm going to give it to is the person that I know is going to show up to work. See, all of this stuff about, we can say what we want about James Harden, and there's no way around it. He forced his way out of Houston. The manner in which he did it, none of us applaud. Because when they said initially no, he showed up out of shape on purpose. That we can't excuse that. Nobody's excusing that. When he got to Brooklyn, I will remind you, when Kyrie hurt his ankle against Milwaukee, it was James Harden that went out there on one leg and tried in game 7. He gave you all he had. He just didn't have much, okay? All right, then he comes back next season. No excuse. He still should have been in tip-top shape. That wasn't the case. And obviously, he ended up forcing his way out of Brooklyn. And according to Brooklyn, you know what? He told us one thing, especially Steve Nash, and then went behind our back and did another by forcing his way out after telling us he wanted to stay. But in the end, what I'm saying to you, especially with Daryl Morey in Philadelphia, we can rely on James Harden showing up to practice, and showing up to the game. Now, he might be a headache in some people's eyes in terms of the perks he exercises and the liberties he takes, but it pales significantly in comparison to what Kyrie throws your way.
That's a unique comparison, Stephen A. I'll use the word unique. I have this question, Wendy, though. The rift that we saw at the end of the regular season, well, perhaps it seemed like it could have been a rift, between Doc Rivers and James Harden, are we past that? Is Doc completely good?
Yes.
It's a fair question to ask. I think Doc was doing what he felt the best thing that they had to do to win those games. And even at the very end of that series, it didn't always look like Embiid and Harden were on the same page. I think you can chalk that up to James Harden just not being in the top condition he needed to be in. So again, I'll say, I think everybody starts with a new page starting at in training camp, but how is that going to go? And it's going to really be tied, because I know Embiid is going to show up and play at a high level.
Yes,
he's in his prime. Yeah. He could have won the MVP in each of the last 2 years. I can't say the same about James Harden, and he's probably going to show up with a new contract. I guess we just have to wait and see. I wish I could give you a stronger answer, Monica.
I can. Doc Rivers is not the most likable dude in the world for a point guard playing for him. Anybody would tell you that. Anybody would tell you that. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I love Doc Rivers. A lot of people who know him love Doc Rivers, and we all know the man can coach. But let's be clear. He's very, very, very hard on his point guards. He doesn't play. You are the floor general. You are the extension of the coach. You run the team. So the level of accountability he placed on your shoulders, dare I say, is a significantly different than, say, a Mike D'Antoni would hold on your shoulders, or even a Kevin McHale might put on your shoulders. This is, or a Steve Nash. All right, these are the coaches that James Harden played for, and a Scott Brooks when he first got into the league. They ain't Doc Rivers in terms of a willingness to embrace conflict. That is Doc Rivers, and he ain't apologizing for it to anybody.
But it sounds like what you're all saying is they put that behind them now. Currently, the Sixers have the 7th best odds to win the title, that according to Caesars in Vegas. And I need you all to just pace yourselves, because it's draft day and you all are going to be working it. So I especially like, settle down a little. Monica doing the interviews? I can't wait for it tonight. ESPN and ABC, let's go.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says he has no authority to remove Daniel Snyder as owner of the Washington Commanders amid ongoing scrutiny into the organization's workplace culture and accusations from women employees of pervasive sexual harassment by team executives. Goodell testified Wednesday before members of Congress at a hearing by the House Committee on Oversight and Reform. At one point, near the end of more than 2 hours of testimony, Goodell was questioned about whether Goodell and the league are willing to do more to punish Snyder. Take a listen.
I have not seen a workplace in the NFL that is anywhere near what we saw in the context of that period of time for the Washington Commanders.
Yes or no, are you willing to do more?
Yes, of course I'm willing to do more. I never said that we were going to stop. I actually said the opposite.
But
we will continue.
You have recommend that Dan Snyder be removed as the team owner. Okay,
the gentlelady's time has expired. The gentleman may answer her question. Your time has expired. You may answer her question. Should Dan Snyder be removed?
I think I'm good.
Remove him. Will you remove him?
I don't have the authority to remove him, Congresswoman.
You hear the passion right there. Kimberly A. Martin joining us now. Kimberly, great to see you. And I want to start with you here. Do you think Goodell should be doing more to remove Snyder?
Molly, Stephen A., morality says that he should do more, right? Business savvy says that the commissioner of the NFL should do more. Straight common sense says the commissioner of the NFL should be positioned to have the authority to do more in a situation such as this. But of everything that Roger Goodell said yesterday, the one thing that we know without a shadow of a doubt that is true is that he cannot remove Daniel Snyder on his own. It's the other owners, 31 other owners. So in a perfect world, Roger Goodell should be able to do something about this. When you look at a 29-page report that was released by this House committee that says Dan Snyder was investigating not just anyone who he felt was a threat to him, so journalists that were in doing interviews about him, questioning people about him, attorneys, employees, trying to intimidate people. The whole scope of this says that Roger Goodell should want to do more, but he's not enabled to do more. And that, to me, is a failure of the structure of the NFL, because it reminds me of Washington, the Commanders. When I covered them, when there were issues surrounding the team, the people that they would put out front and center, you'd see Doug Williams talking about stuff. You'd see Jay Gruden at sometimes talking about things when the issues should have affected Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder. Those were the people that should have been front and center answering these questions. So Roger Goodell as commissioner should be answering questions. But at the end of the day, it's about the owners. My question is, what more is it going to take for 31 other owners to say that Daniel Snyder, he's a detriment to the Shield? I don't know what else it'll take.
Call me a cynic. Once again, members of the United States Congress get on my nerves. Let me explain why. We got the commissioner up there. Why didn't you subpoena? I know they went after Daniel Snyder. Why didn't you subpoena other owners? You know that the commissioner has to answer to the owners. You know that the commissioner needs the support of the majority of the owners in order to force Daniel Snyder out. Why are they not on Capitol Hill? See, this is the kind of stuff that really gets on my nerve, it grates my nerves. Of course, Roger Goodell should recommend to remove Daniel Snyder. Let's be very, very clear about that. With the preponderance of evidence that has been placed against this man, with him being removed from day-to-day operations, with the pervasive environment that he has overseen, he has admittedly overseen. He tried to deny direct involvement. He tried to sit up there and say, excuse me, it wasn't me.
But the fact of the matter is the buck stops with me and I'm responsible for this culture. Well, Dan, we're talking about a culture that's existed for over 20 years, according to these folks. Over 20 years. So what I'm saying is this. Think about this, Molly and Kimberly. I'm reading an article here from, I believe it's May or it's March. I'm sorry. Daniel Snyder serves on four groups. You know, he first serves on four committees. Legalized sports betting, business ventures, fan engagement, and major events. Now, I understand that comes across as relatively vague. Let me tell you what I know for a fact ain't vague to Molly and to Kimberly. All of those things involve money. Mm-hmm. Legalized sports betting? That's a significant chunk of change, wouldn't you say, Kimberly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Business ventures? Lord knows, this is the National Football League.
Yeah.
And you can write your, I mean, there's no negotiation. The NFL tells you what you want, and the networks give it to them and everybody else because they are king. They have established this sport as an event, and they are printing money, for crying out loud, okay? The economy and a potential recession and all. Notice how ain't nobody talking about how that's going to affect football, because it won't. They going to get their money because people are going to give it to them in droves, okay? Fan engagement and major events, it's money. He's on the committee for all of these groups. And so what I'm saying is, of course, that the commissioner should recommend it. Of course, Congress wasn't wrong to ask the commissioner. What I'm saying is this. What about those other owners? Because we all know that Roger Goodell answers to them. Answer, they continue to, listen, with the whole Colin Kaepernick, not that this has anything to do with that, but with the whole Colin Kaepernick situation, what did they do? They ducked and weaved, and they put Roger Goodell out on Front Street for decisions that they were making. But he was the figurehead that had to represent the owners, okay? Yep. We've got a situation now because you dropped the ball on Ray Rice years ago, and now we got a situation involving Deshaun Watson. So you got to have an investigation. And then after that, there has to be a judge that you collectively bargained with the Players Association to have in place. And only then are you allowed to make the decision. So you got to wait for that. This situation comes up. You could have been dealt with Daniel Snyder harshly, or so we thought. And then Roger Goodell states, I do not have the power to get rid of an owner, which we all knew. So when you call the commissioner up on Capitol Hill, knowing he doesn't have the power to do that, what that says to me is it's for public consumption. But at the end of the day, what are you really, really, really going to do?
That's a great point. It's a great point, Stephen A. Kimberly, sorry to put you on the spot, but have you heard the sentiment of other owners, how they feel about it, if Snyder should be released? I mean, we saw what happened with Jerry Richardson.
Yeah, it has, for some reason, Stephen A. talked about not being a cynic. I personally, talking to people, no one thinks that the owners will remove Dan Snyder. Because, again, I say, at what point is the tipping point? What more do you need? The NFL has told Dan Snyder to take a step back, and Washington released a statement yesterday saying, we look at our diversity numbers, things are so much better now that Daniel's taken a step back, but nothing's going to change. And these owners, they're friends, they're buddies. So that, like, let's keep that in perspective too. So you're not going to, you need a majority of these owners to say this man should not have his team anymore. And once you start looking at Daniel Snyder, other people are going to start looking at other owners, and that puts them in a precarious situation as well.
And exactly. She's absolutely correct. And in the interest of full disclosure, listen, I've been with Daniel Snyder in the past. I've enjoyed his company. I've had conversations with him. It's obviously before all of this stuff came out, because I certainly didn't know anything about that. But now that this stuff is out, let me tell you why you don't have owners. They talk about the tipping point. Mm-hmm. Let me be a bit more specific. And that's why Kimberly is making that face. She knows where I'm about to go with this. He does know where the bodies lie. We know that. And what I'm saying, so we're clear about what I am implying. Daniel Snyder is probably of the mindset, or other owners of the mindset, this man knows a lot. He knows a lot about a lot of people. This ain't somebody that we might necessarily want to go against. Don't rule that possibility out at all. Daniel Snyder,
as holding more weight than potentially tarnishing the shield with this particular instance.
Yeah. Daniel Snyder is a very, very connected and influential individual who knows a lot of stuff about a lot of people. That might have something to do with the fact that nobody has recommended that he be removed as owner. I'm saying it.
Yeah. What does it profit the man to gain the world if only to lose their soul? Kimberly A. Martin, great to have you. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much.